everyone. Thanks for joining us for another great edition of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. Happy to break it down for you again this, folks, as at least LSU pulled out a win, although seemed pretty hard to do, but against Nichols, Tigers pulled away eventually to win 44-21. We got that. We got other games going on this weekend we'd like to talk about, although, again, kind of like last week, not too many impressive matchups. I mean, the ones that could have been weren't. For instance, Texas and Michigan, for example, number one. And I don't know, it felt like it was going to be kind of an upset Saturday. There were a few in the making, didn't end up pulling it out, including the Green Wave, unfortunately, but came close. Happy to chat about that with you guys, as well as anything else that comes up. How y'all doing?
Man, hey, good to be with you, Scott. Good to be talking LSU football week two. Not a great result. But, I mean, got a win, so I guess that's what counts, but not exactly what you want to see out of LSU and what you would consider to be a tune-up game. But other than that, man, we're officially in college football. Love it. Love the sports back, and excited to talk about it with you.
Yep. Good weekend. College football revving back up. I unfortunately didn't get to watch the LSU game live. Tommy was with me actually at my brother's wedding. He got married to a University of Tennessee grad, so we're crossing enemy lines in a Rocky Top territory. They actually played that at the wedding reception, and so it's a house divided there. But glad LSU got the win, even if it not in stunning fashion. And now we've got a prime time. Well, not prime time in terms of actual time, but in terms of like big matchup against South Carolina, one that we didn't really circle going into the season, but here we are with College Game Day going to Carolina. So that's exciting. And we'll see a lot of eyes on the Tigers this weekend. So looking forward to that.
Yeah. Not when we were ironed, but now all of a sudden I feel like it's when do we have to worry about this game now? I mean, granted, LSU was dealing with some things. Although one thing they did not have to deal with was the effectiveness of Garrett Nussmeier. I mean, kind of like what we usually do. I'll give my overall impression first, and then we can kind of dissect offense, defense, special teams, and things like that. But I think overall, we just kind of underperformed against a lesser opponent, which is, nothing new to a Tiger fan, but it was the first meeting ever against Nichols State, surprisingly, although I think LSU upped their record against the Southland Conference to like 19-0 or 20-0. But weirdly, it's the first time we've never played Nichols, and they were ready for it, right? Like just from what was going on, again, I was just listening to the radio kind of going off of that, but Nichols was not scared at all, being the first time in Tiger Stadium, one of the most formidable atmospheres in all of college football. They weren't scared, and they played like it. And so that's why it took a while for us to kind of play like a champion. But I'd say initially, it seemed like they were scared, how they first scored, because LSU got out with the safety and then a touchdown. So it looked like we were starting to do it, but then Nichols just kept up with us until like the third quarter. I don't know. I'd say positives. Again, I think Garrett Nussmeier to Kyren Lacy is going to be our bread and butter. Yep. Still got to find a running game, but I think – yeah, man, I think defensively we'll get into it, but, man, I think that's going to be our Achilles heel, no pun intended, because we lost Jacoby and Guillory this weekend to an Achilles injury. So now it's like the one stalwart we had on the defensive line, now we have to replace. So really good things offensively, defensively. I don't know, man. What do you guys think?
Man, I feel like I will say, and this is not a good thing. I mean, this has been, but I feel like we're somewhat used to this. Like, this is in LSU's MO through a lot of these kind of games. Not what you want, but it kind of is what it is. That being said, there's no reason why at close to halftime it should be 16-14 LSU versus Nichols at all. There's no world where that is okay. It should be unacceptable, especially coming after a loss. they had won big against USC, and maybe, you know, oh, like they got a little hangover from that first week, that big week, you know, now they want to, they're taking it down a notch, but don't you, the intensity should have been there, I feel like. And it's, this surely should have been a statement game. I mean, if you look at the box score right now, 44-21 doesn't look as bad as that game, I think, was for LSU. Mm-hmm. Obviously we pulled ahead towards the end of the game, as we should, because this is, I mean, that's, you know, at that point when there's a little bit of fatigue and you're really going, you know, twos versus twos, and a lot of, and, you know, a lot of the game is substitutions, a lot of the game is depth. Well, of course, LSU, an SEC, you know, elite team, is going to have more depth than Nichols. But, gosh, I just think that that, I mean, all the Brian Kelly haters out there, and I'm not necessarily one of them, but they're building a case right now. And I think that it's, you know, I think that in some ways it's warranted.
They're feeling right. Validated. Yeah.
They're feeling validated. Absolutely.
You pointed out the 23-point gap over Nichols, and yeah, that didn't tell a complete story considering Nichols was had the same score, 21 to LSU's 23, so only a 2-point margin kind of midway through the third quarter. So 2/3 of the game separating 2 points between FBS powerhouse LSU and FCS. I mean, they're pretty good for FCS, but I mean, this is Nichols State we're talking about here.
They're not even, but they're not even like, it's not even like North Dakota State. You know what I mean? Like, it's not even like the class of the, of that division.
And it's pointed out by the fact that LSU wins by 23, but we were favored by double that, by 46. So people were expecting a stomping, and we gave them a scare. And that's not what you want in your first home game of the season, Saturday night in Death Valley with the new boards, pretty good weather in front of a big crowd. And this is the game where you expect the stands to be empty at halftime, but people can't go home at halftime if the game's within 2 points. So it's kind of crazy. The trends from the first week against USC continued in some sense, with Nussmeier in the passing attack being definitely the highlight, in our rushing attack suffering from significant malaise, both on the offensive line and the backs, just not, no real oomph, no power in the trenches. And I guess that kind of goes both sides, because we didn't put much pressure on their quarterback, recording zero sacks, and we let them run it up the gut to us, including like a 60 or 70 yard touchdown run by their running back, which is kind of sad to give up against Nichols. So like we said before, plenty of things to work on. Thankfully, we didn't come away with a tragedy shocker, kind of a la Notre Dame this week. But yeah, if we play like that again against South Carolina, then things could start getting dicey pretty soon this season, and that seat can start to heat up for Ryan Kelly.
I mean, I think if you play like that against South Carolina, you lose, and it's not close. I think. I mean, right. South Carolina's got. I mean, they're not you know, an elite team in the SEC, but they're way better than that.
Yeah, I mean, they came off a big win on the road against Kentucky, although they had a game like ours their first week. I think they played Old Dominion, something like that, and they struggled a little bit. But, you know, that's week one. Now we're coming on week three, and what we were told is teams make the biggest jump after game one. We didn't see that. We didn't see that for the grand reveal of 100 years in Tiger Stadium. We didn't get that type of performance. Instead, we got, like you said, kind of just a shinier version of week one in some respects. Now, I will say this. We did lose Jacoby and Guillory, you know, I think it was right before, it was before halftime. So I think it was in the second quarter. And, you know, that's when Nichols was doing some damage. Now, I don't know if that's when that big run happened. I think it did. But then in the third quarter, without him, we figured it out. We shut him down. LSU scored 21 straight, and it was over pretty much after that. In addition to that is we've been, you know, they were asking Brian Kelly after the game, defensively, he says, yeah, going forward, you're looking at probably 4 cornerbacks and 4 safeties. That's what we're doing. So cornerbacks, I think we're pretty solidified there. They're going to have to rotate all these guys in on the D-line, which we kind of thought anyway, but now without our main guy. But they were able to figure out after that. It's not like Nichols just kept coming back and we won 44-38, you know? So
yeah.
I guess that's the one positive. The other thing is they did kind of turn it around after P.J. Woodland got his first forced fumble. He actually recovered it too, to give LSU something, right? It's like, come on, these guys are good. Just play, make a play on the ball. And he did. boom, guy gets a fumble. I guess he was listening to the pod. So after that, they turned it around. So I think there's some positivity there, although I'm still like our safeties, we just have to accept that it's probably not going to improve, at least for right now. We've kind of plateaued with our safety play. So going into South Carolina, that's what makes me nervous. Although the fact that we've rotated some guys in on the D-line, you know, including transfers, you know, that could be our, you know, maybe the only way to go is up from there.
No, I think you're right. I mean, I would say, okay, do we think that I personally like what Blake Baker's doing, I think. I think it's a talent issue. I think it's a talent. Yeah. I think it's a skill issue.
Yeah.
Because it feels like where he has the skill, he's able to get it done or able to put out, you know, a serviceable product. But it just doesn't seem like I just don't think we have the skill. And I think you're right. I think on the defensive line, we're having trouble. Obviously, we knew safeties going into the season. We knew safeties were going to be an issue. And so it's weird. It's not like it was last year where it's like, okay, this defense is terrible. Like this, the defense makes no sense. Our playmakers aren't put in positions to succeed. This is a coaching issue. I think we just don't have the talent.
Yeah. There were some issues with tackling for sure. Missed tackles, which has been a problem basically since the 2019 season. We call that out.
That's true.
In the Edo eras, but
it was was an issue in the 2019 season. We were just so good. It didn't matter.
Right. But there wasn't as many kind of like blown coverages, which is good. It was just a few kind of lapses in judgment, being in the right spot at the right time. The defense, it's good. It's definitely, I think, improved from last year. We're getting some production from youth guys like PJ Woodland and Ashton Stamps in the secondary. Like you said, Scott, the safety position is a bit of a kind of a big question mark with Major Burns, Sage Ryan, and kind of in the nickel spot, and then Jardine Gilbert kind of perennially being abused by opponent offenses. Unfortunately, Nichols didn't quite have the downfield threats to toast him over the top. South Carolina may try and challenge that a little bit more, although their passing attack isn't exactly super lethal either. On the offensive side of the ball, yeah, Nussmeier with 6 touchdowns, can't fault him. We had put the question mark on Kyron Lacy. Can he be a wide receiver 1? And I mean, with 3 touchdowns in this game and a good performance against USC as well, he's definitely stepped up to the plate. So big shout outs to him. We worked in a couple true freshmen getting touchdowns. Tre'Dez Green and Juwan Johnson, who is former Mr. Football in Louisiana, was starting the season at the safety position, has already been converted to running back. He played both sides of the ball in high school at Lafayette Christian, I believe. And then, he scored a nice touchdown already. So good on him. And hopefully that can develop. And I mean, we've got plenty of options at the running back position, even after John Emery's season-ending injury, which is sad. But between Josh Williams, Caleb Jackson, possibly true freshman Caden Durham and Juwan Johnson, we need to get somebody who can give us a little spark there. Because if we get too one-dimensional, where it's basically Nussmeier 5-step drop and tries to sling it every single play on offense, then defenses are going to key in on that. And once you get around to Alabama and Oklahoma, they're not going to let that fly literally very much.
Yeah. No, but as far as playing all these freshmen to see what we got, hey, if that's what it's not, so that's all we can do, I'm fine with that. Hopefully they can learn, as opposed to just putting out mediocre play and hoping we get by. And by the way, this Juwan Johnson, so you say he played both sides, he caught his first touchdown pass. Can he play safety? I mean, hello.
Maybe he can be our Travis Hunter.
That's how we're 7 started. Patrick Peterson, he ended up playing both ways at some point. So why not? Now, one thing they did ask him about, because again, it was another quiet night for Harold Perkins for the most part. I mean, he did have a tackle for loss, but they asked him about it specifically. And his answer was peculiar, because he said, yeah, you know, part of it's just figuring out how to use them, which I'm thinking, why is this so hard on year 3? It's like the first year we had him, like, oh my God, this guy's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, he could be a Heisman candidate next year. But for now, 2 years in a row, it's like, well, we got to figure out how to use them. It's like, how did you
not know how to use them?
Yes. How did you forget how to use them from the first year? So that's, to me, yeah, that's coaching right there. Second, he said, and this stuck out, is, you know, once you, you know, it was getting him in the right position. But, you know, once you do that, it's up to the players to make the plays. So I don't know. I would hate to think that he plateaued after that first season and everyone's just on to him. But I, again, I still don't know if it's
maybe it's a bit of a cohesive confidence issue or something. Like, he is playing a bit of a shadow of his former self as a true freshman. He seemed to be playing much more instinctually. And now it seems like he's kind of second guessing himself and be like, I need to be in this spot to make the play. And I'm going to do this to stop the run or whatever. But before it's just like, I'm going to go make something happen. And there's definitely downsides to the former because you can really get ripped open for a big gain, but there's also the more high upside to force a fumble or get a tackle for loss in the backfield of the quarterback. And that's not what we've seen recently. So we need him to get his mind right and just step up there and lead a defense that definitely does need a leader, especially with guys like Jacoby and Guillory going down.
Right. And if he starts making plays, hopefully that would make it easier on our very porous secondary. But I mean, Brian Kelly put it out there. I mean, as much as you want to second guess a lot of things, I mean, the guy is pretty honest. He says, look, we don't have anybody right now that can probably go 65 snaps at corner. So that's why you're going to see guys. Probably the same with safety. Now, the thing about Perkins, they also said was, yeah, like when we were using him that first year, you know, this was our defense. Like he would look a lot better if all we did was play nickel. Right. But I don't know that we could do that every down. So there it's like, you know, they're trying to figure out, and that I can understand. But again, it's still year three. So hopefully he can just trust whatever play he's in, do his job, and that's where it will shine. Now, going back to the offense, yeah, man, I don't know what else you could ask us to do again. I mean, he became only the third QB in history of LSU to throw for 6 touchdowns. Interestingly enough, they've all been since 2019, you know, starting with Joe Burrow. But that's amazing. I think it's covered up a lot of our running issues, but eventually that's going to come to a head. Cause I mean, I don't know though. I think one thing hopefully Ness figured out, cause what we had last year that we've still not been able to replace is the running that Jaden could give when a play broke down. So, I don't know. There was a couple moments where Ness did shine where I was able to watch. So if he's comfortable with just taking off and being safe, I don't know. Maybe he's not going to be Jaden, but maybe he could be a little bit more Joe in that regard.
Yeah, he did tuck and run for one first down, so at least he is able to. He's not the Peyton Manning in the backfield.
No, he's not. But as far as the rest of the offense, yeah, it's great. We're spreading it around. Guys are getting their first touchdown in Tiger Stadium. It'd be great if we had some consistency there. You know, I know we think we lost Pimpton. He had an injury too, but that means another guy can step up. So if it's about playing freshmen and if they can at least complete the task of each play, yeah, it might be harder, you know, some growing pains there, but we can get them straightened out earlier on now against teams like South Carolina and UCLA. And that's no disrespect to them. I still think we have a lot of work cut out for both of those games, but I know it's not going to be the same as needing them to perform against Ole Miss and Alabama, you know?
No, I think, I wouldn't say I'm excited, but I'm eager to see this performance against South Carolina, because this is where it's going to be, put your money where your mouth is. You know, we gave you a pass on USC, you know, team played okay. Maybe a few bounce of the balls goes the other way. We win that game, but we didn't. And so we're 0-1. Well, now you need to go take care of business against a nickel state team where you shouldn't be able to handle them. The game should be over in the first quarter, second quarter. It's not. Obviously, you still get the win. That's what counts. But I think that this you know, game against South Carolina is going to be when's the last time we played a game against South Carolina that was very, very, very significant? I would say it's probably when we played them at South Carolina when they had Marcus Lattimore and the old ball coach was still coaching their team.
Is that 2008? I think that's the last time we were there.
No, it was 2012. Okay. Remember Jeremy Hill ran off and won the game for us.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, like I said, this is the first time that I can say that, you know, oh, South Carolina is a really big game for us, but I genuinely think it is. And obviously Like you said, Scott, the doesn't look like there are that many great games other than ours out there, because College Game Day is going to be in Columbia. So the spotlight will be on us. I hope we can live up to it. I hope we go in there and get a nice win and kind of, I mean, this should be what sets our, season up, or sets us up on the right foot.
Right. Cause in our preseason podcast, when we're talking about potential playoff discussions and 10-2, 11-1 records, a game like at South Carolina has to be a given in that scenario, considering the level of talent on the rest of the schedule. And no disrespect to them, like you said, Scott, they're an SEC team and they've been known to cause upsets in the past, but LSU kind of has to win this game given their talent discrepancy and their high hopes going into the season. We've shown that we can play well, like we did against USC. We didn't completely bottle that game. It was definitely winnable. And Nichols wasn't a complete disaster. So it's not a lost cause, and there's hope for the future. But yeah, we can't drop this one and expect the rest of the season to be much better. And given the loss to USC, that's why that was so impactful, because now ones like this are literally like 100% must win. Like, say LSU loses this weekend against South Carolina, the playoff hopes are basically out the window at that point. So that's nothing that an LSU fan wants to see, considering that's kind of what drives a lot of the interest and intrigue going down the stretch of who's alive in the playoff race. And LSU sitting at 1-2 is pretty much an afterthought there. So I hope the Tigers can win. And I think we do, given just, I think we'll bounce back a little bit. South Carolina has a pretty good defense, but I expect Nussmeier to continue his hot performance and maybe another low scoring game, kind of what, like against USC, something maybe like 27-24 LSU, and hopefully we can at least squeak it out in Columbia and head back home against USC to keep the winning streak alive. Any predictions from y'all as far as score or anything you might expect to happen on this College Game Day? It is a noon kickoff, 11 a.m. Central Time, 12 a.m. Eastern in Columbia, so LSU's had trouble in the past with the early ones.
Yeah, but then some weekends, it just depends, I guess, because some early games we've done okay. I think the fact that we're on the road early against South Carolina, I think that's better for us instead of having to play in Columbia at night, because that can be a pretty raucous environment. Now, the fact that game day's there, I don't know, that's neither here nor there. That's just because, I mean, which is still interesting to me, because, I mean, there is a ranked matchup. You know, there's Arizona, Kansas State. There's Alabama at Wisconsin, which I guess is probably the same as our matchup a little bit. But, I mean, it's like Oregon State, the Civil War game. You also got other ranked matchups going on. I don't know. It just seemed like an interesting choice. But I guess what else is there, right? Now, I think the fact that it is an early kickoff – I don't know, but I guess we could just remain to be surprised.
One positive of the early kickoff is that the pain is over early for LSU fans. Like at 3:30 p.m., you either know if you won or lost. You can watch the rest of the games, even if they're not that great, and chill out with the rest of your Saturday. It's always stressful when LSU's kicking off at like 7:30 or something. You kind of sit there stewing all day, just waiting for heartbreak.
Exactly.
We don't have to. Right now, LSU's a 7-point favorite. What do we think? Do we like LSU here?
Seven point favorite
on the road. That's a lot of confidence coming from Vegas.
I know.
I predicted LSU to win, but win by three. So in that scenario, South Carolina covers. I think that it's going to be close.
I don't know. I think, I was thinking like maybe 28-24, 27 even maybe. I don't know. I think there's just too many unknowns. But I don't know. I guess maybe Vegas is saying that because of South Carolina and they're like struggling with Old Dominion at home.
Yeah, in their game against Kentucky, they weren't quite as dominating as the score indicated. Kentucky had a lot of turnovers, like in their own like 20-yard line. South Carolina kind of just picked up and scored. It wasn't like they were driving the ball at will. The rushing attack leaves a little bit to be desired. But yeah, like I said, the defense is pretty good so far. So Maybe the advanced metrics are telling them that LSU should be a better favorite, or maybe the public just likes the Tigers.
Yeah, the public probably. I mean, I think the public typically likes the Tigers. I think that, but maybe, you know, maybe we'll be able to put the pieces together. Maybe it took 2 weeks, figure it out. If we combined, you know, the way that our offense has played both weeks with maybe a little bit of that defense from week one, you know, maybe we take out South Carolina and it's not a massive issue, and we can win by it. We can cover and get out of there.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to get a bad feeling. Now I'm starting to get like, I almost want to say we lose. We go on the road, play a hard fought game and lose by three.
Like a last second field goal.
Like, yeah, like kind of like the almost like the Southern Cal game.
USC game, yeah.
Yeah, like you go out, you know, it's whoever has the ball last wins, and, you know, we just can't put it in the end zone. So I think, you know what, I'll go ahead and give my prediction now. I think we lose. I'm going to say we lose 28-21, and wow. And it's not what you want to pick, but I'm going to say we do. And the reason is because if I'm wrong, then great. If I'm right, well, then I'm right.
It's a win-win. Kind of like betting against your favorite team.
Yeah, that's why you always got to bet against your favorite team. That's the best part.
I'll actually go LSU 34, South Carolina 21.
Okay. That'd be a solid win for LSU if it came out with that score. So
but we were kind of close last week. Didn't you guys say LSU would probably be around 44, 47?
Yeah.
We all had Nichols much less, obviously. I think I said LSU should be up 35-0 at half. If not, there's a problem. And hey.
There is.
Yeah.
We did note that Nichols was bound to score a few times against our defense, and they did do that.
This just goes to show, I think someone in the Clemson fan base is still listening, because probably Dabo himself. They were up 35-0 in the first quarter in their quote unquote, you know, cream puff game. I don't know. Obviously, some people are trying to run up the score just so he can get back to relevancy. But yeah, just interesting games all the way around. I mean, like I said, almost a lot of upsets. A lot of people were struggling. Oklahoma struggled with Houston. Tulane almost got the best of I'm sorry, I forget already who they had. But, you know, like,
Kansas State. I watched Kansas that State. One on my phone.
Yeah. So and there were some upsets. I mean, Auburn lost to Cal at home. There was
Notre Dame going down to Northern Illinois. What's up with that? Yeah, Fighting exactly. Irish. They had the cupcake schedule walk into the playoff, and then they choke it. I wouldn't say they're 100% out, but they're probably 95% with that blemish on their resume. Alabama was dancing with South Florida for the second year in a row until they finally pulled away. I don't know if y'all saw the videos of Nick Saban on the sideline, kind of like stewing at some of the Alabama like personal fouls and stuff. Like, he still wants to get in there and discipline.
Mm-hmm. Weren't they? I think they dedicated the field to him during that, like this week.
Right.
That's why he was there.
Mm-hmm.
So what a way to dedicate, or what a the time to be dedicating the field to him.
That's why he was mad. They were ruining the dedication.
They're ruining his dedication. Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, yeah, I know. I'd say all in all, though, I'd say we're still probably right in the thick of things, because no one else is, like, people like FSU, you know, gone. Like you said, Notre Dame, their chances just went from probably to not so fast. I think we're still in the hunt. Like you said, if we lose to South Carolina, that may end things. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I'd say teams that do look the part so far, Texas.
Yeah, solid Georgia. Win over Michigan.
Yeah, Texas, Georgia, and at least just for the, you know, the time being now, Tennessee, but still a lot of year left to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ohio State and Ole Miss both looking good as well. And now in the top, I think it's six out of the top seven teams in the polls are SEC teams, the cream of the crop rising to the top there. And Ohio State being the one outside of those. Now that Oregon escaped Boise State again, Oregon was a highly touted going into the year and had two close calls against lesser opponents. Although Boise State isn't a bad team. And then the my Heisman candidate, Shedeur Sanders, and the Fighting Deons of Colorado getting dropped by true freshman Dylan Raiola in Nebraska. Not a bad look, or not a good look, excuse me. Yeah. So could be a few more L's on the schedule ahead for Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were up 28-0, I think, right before their half in the second quarter. Yeah, man, Colorado is just imploding. You're not going to cash in on that Heisman ticket, unfortunately.
It was worth a shot.
Yeah, Quinn Ewers is still looking pretty good, though. I think the odds of Nussmeier are still pretty good, although the whole team has to win. I don't know. I'd say
my pick from last week, Cam Ward, still looking good.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Miami solid.
Miami, yep. What a world that we're living
out about Milroe and the rest of Alabama this week at Wisconsin. I mean, I think Alabama will do fine. They'll handle business, but it is, I think that's another one of those 12 PM kick. Well, 11 AM for them, kickoffs, but it's a Camp Randall. So they can get pretty rowdy too. We'll see. What else?
Yeah, I guess that was it for this past week. Like you mentioned, this upcoming week isn't much on the docket. Probably the biggest game is Friday night, actually, between Arizona and Kansas State, a ranked matchup there. And then the only other one I'm kind of intrigued by, Alabama going to Camp Randall in Wisconsin. That's the same time as LSU, noon Eastern kickoff on Saturday. I guess you could watch the, like you said, the Oregon State game in the afternoon. Oregon could be upset there in Corvallis, and then pretty thin on the evening slate. You could tune in to Ole Miss at Wake Forest. That's a weird matchup on the CW network at 6:30 PM. I didn't know they even broadcast.
Get those rights.
I didn't know they even had football, but that's what ESPN is telling me. That's where you can find that one.
I thought they only got live golf. Yeah, a little bit of a light week. We had one kind of banger week to start off, and then we had a marquee matchup last week with Texas and Michigan. So now we're taking a little bit of a breather, and I would say, I think, like you said, Daniel, all the games that you mentioned, I'll be interested to see Missouri and Boston College. I think that could be a good one. Boston College, coached by Bill O'Brien, who absolutely shoved it down Florida State's throat, made them look silly. I think that actually could be a pretty decent matchup. These are kind of two teams that are maybe not, you know, they're not marquee teams. They're not teams you think of, but don't look now, but I mean, Missouri's number 6 in the nation right now.
That's true. And so I guess their defense didn't miss a beat, because I think they shut out their team last week, unlike us. Now, another interesting one to keep an eye out, it's another one of those rivalry games. You got Colorado State. It was a good game last year, although Colorado did pull it out, although Colorado State was smelling upset. But this year, I don't know, I think the bus might go down, just because whatever Colorado had to start last year, they have not found it since, right? So I don't know. Prime might be done.
True. Maybe he'll ship off to the NFL. Y'all watch any week one NFL?
Wish I could have watched
Jay Daniels' debut.
There is that. Yeah.
Yep. I saw a little bit of Jaden. Look decent.
Mm-hmm.
Watched other Tigers in the NFL. Saints look good, like you said, Scott. NFL's not my favorite game, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels kind of played the part he did at LSU a little bit. He looked a little bit lost in the passing game, but was definitely dangerous.
Running back.
Yeah, dangerous with his legs, and a lot of people are kind of still sounding the drum that he's going to get himself pretty seriously hurt if he keeps doing this in the NFL, which is always scary. Hopefully that doesn't happen, obviously. But good luck to him, and definitely dynamic at least, so I can't take that away. Hopefully it doesn't turn into like a RG3 situation maybe down the road, where things are looking good at first, and then once the wheels start falling off and it takes a turn.
Right. Yeah, and it'd be weird. I mean, because obviously he was with the Skins, so
mm-hmm.
would be a kind of an appropriate thing. But I will say that, did you see or I don't know if you saw when Jaden, he had one really good run and then he just like rolled. He like did like a somersault and they were talking about how he doesn't know how to slide.
Yeah, full steam ahead.
Probably not. He has to know though. Like, right, right, because that's really, that's an investment. The coach is going to say, "Hey, this is actually coming from above me. You got to slide."
Well, no, but he did like get, it's like he got down, but he didn't slide with his feet. He like rolled. It was weird. Yeah. He like kind of put his shoulder on the ground and then like rolled around.
We got a slide in class. You're taking it. Anyway. But yeah, I mean, that's, I think we covered a lot of ground unless there's anything else that, I think that might
I think that's it. Tune into College Game Day in Columbia for LSU appearance in a hostile environment, and hopefully the Tigers can come away with a win over the Gamecocks.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sounds good to me. I mean, I picked LSU to lose, but I definitely don't want them to.
No, you don't. Now, I did want to ask about this because, you know, they surely you at least were able to see highlights. Maybe you talked to people. I don't know, saw reactions online or whatever, but stadium lights, the effects. We now have the flashing purple and gold lights during big plays, like, you know, most stadiums nowadays. The video boards are up. They look good. I don't know.
I heard it all looks good. I want to see it in person. But, yeah, I mean, it looks cool on the you know, the clips I've seen. And I got good reports from everybody who I've talked to who've been there. What about you, Daniel?
Yeah, kind of the same. It's hard to tell when you're not there, you know, but all positive stuff so far. Maybe they kept a little bit in the back for the home game against USC, or not USC, UCLA, or even looking at Ole Miss coming up in a few weeks. Would be nice for them to kind of break out some of the dramatic sizzle reels or theatrics for that one. So looking forward to those matchups, and I'd like to be there in person. Don't think I will, but hope everybody, lose my voice here, hope everyone who's there has fun.
Right. I don't know. I kind of heard it's not set in stone, but it's likely that we may see that UCLA game like early afternoon. Mm. Right. Like maybe
yeah, they already 3 p.m. They already confirmed it's afternoon game.
Yeah. So, oh, well, I mean, like, you know, we played them in the Rose Bowl at night. I think we got to return the favor, but obviously it's not our call. But
yeah.
Oh, well. Anywho, looking forward to it nonetheless. So I think that'll do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Until next time, stay safe, stay tuned, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.